sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. It just got everybody. Nobody was left out. The whole world. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Let's read Romans 8, verse 19 while we're standing. For we were talking about a little bit more today than we did last Wednesday. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You may be seated in the Lord. That is blessings of reading the Word. God bless you this afternoon. Now, what we've been talking about, we kind of got a little bit on birth pains. And this will be birth pains part two, or number two. And we know that this seal that we're talking about, the sixth seal, is the judgment seal of the Bible. It is the tribulation period. It is the wrath of God poured out. It is persecution for the foolish virgin and for the 144,000 and the two witnesses. They will be persecuted. And the foolish virgin, the prophet of God, said they would be hunted down like dogs and they would have to give their life for the gospel. All right, so, but now the bride will not be there. It's not that we are a special group of people. He made us that way. I was telling them downstairs, and if I burp, forgive me because I ate some barbecue. Okay, so we just ate it just a few minutes ago. So, Lord, keep it down. But, amen that. Amen, Brother Donnie. You stay awake. At least he's honest. He's got toothpicks. There you go. I know it's rough. Listen, it's rough, but let's just focus just for a few minutes. And then we'll, then you know what? Then we'll go outside for 2 hours and stand around and talk. Anyway, so the sixth seal is the tribulation period. And like I'll say this again, I'm going to say it every service if I can remember it. The greatest revelation, if you never get another revelation, is that Holy Ghost you got inside of you. I was telling them downstairs in the Sunday school class. That Holy Ghost, this is it right here. This is your Holy Ghost. Okay, this is my Holy Ghost. I got it right here in my hand. If you've got this Holy Ghost, forget about the tribulation. Forget about the judgment.
Right.
Forget about the millennium. Because you're going there. You're in a space capsule. And you can't get out of it. So if you got the Holy Ghost, you're going to be, either if you pass away, you're going to be resurrected. You're going to be changed. You're going to go in a rapture. You're going to go to the, you missed one this morning. Wedding supper. Go to the wedding supper. If y'all will go back online, Brother Joe can pull it up for you. About 15 years ago, I preached a sermon on a timeline from Adam to the future home. If you'll look at it online, you can see the whole piece of paper, and it's got it all sectioned out. But I wish Brother Dale would preach on it too. He's preaching all, and all it should go from Adam all the way to the future home. Amen? But you got a free ticket. A free trip. That's what I was telling them downstairs. I like to delve into some of the finer points of the message, but I really don't care what we're going to eat in the millennium. I really don't care what we're going to eat. And you understand what I mean. If I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'll know when I get there. If I take a body change, where are we going to go? Who cares? Really? Really? Come on, people. What street am I going to live in the future home? And I told him downstairs, I'm going to tell you, I said, look, there's a wall right here, and that's called a body change. Until we understand that, we're not going.
That's right.
Until we understand this, all that is just frivolous things that people, you'll forget half of it. But the body change, that's what we're looking at. That's right here on our nose. If you're looking for something, look for the resurrection and the body change. We're looking for the resurrection of the dead saints. And until they resurrect, we're just going to keep on going. And then all of a sudden, maybe one day, we're going to be one of them. But the sixth seal, though, shows me that I don't have to go through the tribulation.
Glory.
I've already been changed. I've already went to where, remember, I told you, we've already been to hell. The theophany of God went to hell to preach to the souls in prison. If you've got that same theophany in you today, if you don't, you got a different one. If you got that same theophany, that theophany was already went to hell. That theophany understands. It was talking about Jesus walking on earth this morning. If you want to watch it, you can downstairs. But I really think that, but the Bible says Jesus learned by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect. Became the author of our salvation, eternal salvation. Amen? So when he was captured inside that human body, there were some things that he couldn't understand.
Right.
Brother Brown said he didn't know about his second coming. Now you think being Almighty God, he'd know that.
Right.
But there were some things that had to filter through that brain of his, just like through yours. And I'm getting off the subject here. Sorry. Aaron, I'm going down a rabbit trail. Praise the Lord. I'm back now. So forget about that. So the sixth seal is the tribulation seal. But if that seal opens to me and you, listen, if that seal opens to me and you in a spiritual form, we don't have to worry about that tribulation period. We don't have to worry about, sure, there's going to be persecution and many things that are going to happen. Listen, we're persecuted already. Look at that woman with the long hair. Looks like a grandma. Oh, he won't take a little beer. He won't take a look. Who's he think he is? See, that's persecution, but not on the degree as it was of the Fox's Book of Martyrs. That was persecution.
Right.
But remember, persecution comes from someone else.
Right.
All right? It doesn't come, persecution is not having any money. Persecution is not having something to eat. Persecution is not having a car. Persecution is when one person persecutes another person. That's why it's called persecution. All right, so we're persecuted already because of what we believe. And like I was telling them downstairs, we must be careful to not go into these things and say, well, nobody's going to know. Now, listen, the government knows everything we do. They know our doctrine. They know everything we do. They know where we live. They know our Social Security number. They know what we say on the phone. But Google, if you've ever Googled anything, you're in their big Google mind up there somewhere. And I know nobody in this building's ever Googled anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that guy sitting up at control tower is going, yeah, you have. But so let's not try to figure out. Let's don't do like somebody said, well, why don't we need to put some aluminum foil over our head, you know, or put some aluminum foil over our set. Listen, it's going to be God Almighty that's going to have to protect us. There is nothing you can do to protect yourself. You must be encompassed by the Word of God to get out of here. You can try to figure out how we can do this or how we can survive this or how we can do this. What does it matter? They're going to know where we're at. And listen, this is how close it is. This is how close it is. Do you know that when the terrorism, 9/11 happened, that terrorism attack set off a thing called the NSA? The NSA now has total control of every National Security Alliance or whatever, association or whatever it is. So it's a national security thing and everybody's under that. And if you come out from under the norm, you're considered a terrorist.
Right.
Now what is the norm? If you go in a religious realm, the norm is every religion, I don't care what it is, every religion believes there's a Trinity. They believe in water baptism, name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Well, they're sprinkling or pouring. It's still basic. You see all those basic doctrines? Well, see, we're not under that. We've already been pulled out and put into another group because we are not normal, accepted religion. So being not accepted normal religion, that means we are radical. So we've been put over in a corner somewhere, and you know what's going to happen one day? One day something's going to happen, and they're going to, notice. But you know what? There's nothing you can do to stop it. It's already been foretold. Brother Ram's already told us what was going to happen with money and with the Catholic Church and with everybody going under one system. We know that's going to happen. Regardless if it's a Democrat or Republican, regardless of what people pass laws, it doesn't matter. But if you've got the Holy Ghost today, you have missed the tribulation period. You have missed the wrath of God poured out where everybody in the world, kings. Don't you think a king on Saudi Arabia could pay $1 billion and have a whole army around him to keep? Somebody will get him. Doesn't matter. Because they're under the wrath of God. They're not under the wrath of man. This is God pouring out wrath on them. Now we know it's through man. But we know the sixth seal, though, is the judgment seal. So that judgment seal of the word is the sixth seal. Right. When it opens to you, to me, when it opens, it tells you you've already been judged. Right. You've already been redeemed. Your judgment is over because, listen, if not, you've got to be judged by your works. And being judged by your works, you just might not make it. But I'm judged by Jesus Christ's works. And if he made it, I'm going to make it. Amen? So that's the way I see this sixth seal open, is that I have put everything upon him. He took my tribulation. He took my persecution. He took all these things at Calvary so that I don't have to. So the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the entire Word of God. Amen. When that sixth seal opens in its natural form, the whole world is going to be involved. Right. We just read it. The whole world! This is not just persecution on Israel and persecution on Germany and persecution in the United States. Sure, we know the prophet of God said it starts here and works its way over there. Because listen, we are the country that turned the prophet down first. We had a prophet come right out of our nation. Our own language. And like I told you before, we sent all them silly doctrines all over the world come right out of the United States. The doctrines in the Philippines and in Jamaica and different places where we've been and know for sure where they come from and who took them over there. They came from the United States. So we're going to get it first. We're going to get judgment first because we turned down the prophet of God. In 1956, he said this. That's been a long time ago, 1956. Most people in this building weren't born yet. Some of you were. Like Terrence said, some of you old ones. Real old. What'd you say that for? Now I got to tell everybody. Old people, it's old people. You know how I look at you. You're not old. You're just heading toward a body change. That's the way I see it. So the sixth seal. Now let's skip this and go to number. Can you pull up number three? Who's back there today? Anderson back there. Okay, good. All right, that's okay. So we'll let them get in. There it is, number three. Anderson, I said, who's back there? He went. That means the little kids. That means the little kids are back there. They're not little kids. They're grown men. They're growing up, man. They're looking good, too. All them good-looking kids. We got a bunch of good-looking kids. You mamas and daddies better be start praying. Y'all better be praying long and hard. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go to this and see. We've already read this one time. We're going to read it again. Now we find out also the sixth seal now being opened. It was for a threefold purpose. Now here was the purposes. The first thing was that the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation. Now as Brother Dale's talking about all in all, remember one thing. Eternal life is eternal life, but there are degrees of eternal life. You and I receive eternal life here because we are newborn babes, you might say. We were born wrong and then we got born again. God filled our soul with eternal life while we are living and breathing on the face of the earth. Okay? That's one group. Now the foolish virgin is going to be given eternal life, but they're another group. It's going to be imparted to them at the white throne judgment. Everybody got that? Say amen. All you that are awake. The first thing was asleep, but now what did they have to do? They got to go through a persecution of their own. Of their own. They got to go through a persecution, be killed for what they believe, and then given eternal life at the white throne for their stand for the gospel that they understand while they're here. Now that's almost a direct quote from Brother Branham. Because a sleeping virgin, they are virgins. But they were not taught. Look, the first thing was the sleeping virgin had to go through the tribulation period for purification. You and I hope if we'll understand this, we'll come to that body change. We'll come to the
right.
Our purification's already here.
Right. Right.
Everything we need and everything we got in the new birth is already took care of all that.
Right.
She had to be purged for her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message.
Right.
This she was done in the tribulation period. We see they wind up over here in Revelation 7. Between the 6th and 7th chapter, that she has been purged and she's been given her robes. Now she's not the bride. She's the church. She will be imparted eternal life. She didn't possess it. She will be given eternal life at the white throne judgment. All right? But the bride, we already have it here.
Glory.
Man. To receive, have an opportunity to receive the message, or in some way they were blinded by false prophets. We see that going on now. And they didn't get a chance. And yet they're really sincere in heart, and God knows their heart, and here they're purged during this time. Now that's the first purging. The second purging, you'll notice another purging time. That's for Israel when she gathers. Now look, Israel, remember I went through all that in the fifth seal. Israel was God's first bride. Israel was God's first bride. She went whoring against other idols and other gods, and God had what? She tried to fool around with another man. God had to put her away and give her a billing of divorcement, divorced her, and married the bride. Amen? You can do that, remember, in marriage and divorce. Hello? If you catch your wife running around on somebody, on you, you can put her away and marry somebody else, and she's not going to ever be restored back because you can't take her back.
Right.
You can't take her back because she's polluted. We went through all that during the fifth seal. Because what happened was Israel turned Christ down at the cross. So that put that 144,000, they're going to get eternal life, but they're going to be in another position.
Right.
Not bride anymore. He can't marry her again. He can't marry his divorced wife again. You can't do that. It even says in the Bible you can't do that in a natural sense. So God surely couldn't do it in a spiritual sense. So he sends Israel through the tribulation period, 12,000 out of each tribe, 12 tribes, 144,000. See, out of the millions that will gather there, it's not just all Israel. There will be a selected 144,000 and they will be purged. What? They'll be persecuted. They'll be killed along with the two prophets. They'll be killed. Then they'll what? They will be caught up, and then Armageddon begins, all right? And then notice there's a whole earth to be purged. There will be such a thing that the moon, stars, and all nature will be purged. You see what it is. The earth is renewing herself, being purged, getting ready for the millennium. The millennium's coming up, and see, everything that's got any filth in it is to be purged during the sixth seal. All right, everybody got that? Say amen. All right, that would be at the Battle of Armageddon going into the millennium where everything's going to be cleaned off so that us and Christ can come back to the earth. But there's got to some things happen before that. So let's go to number 4. We read it last Sunday. And we're talking about, and I want to stop for just a second on this, but let's read it first. Brother Brown in 1964, Shalom, Sierra Vista, Arizona. I read this last Sunday. We all know that's identification. We know what the third pull is because everybody's worried about what the third pull is. We all understand that. Now you'll have the tape, see, and I think it'll just lay dormant for a little while until the great hour of persecution.
Right.
You and I are not being persecuted at the moment like that kind of persecution.
Right.
Then when it be, it'll speak. It'll manifest just like the five straight signs. Remember, Brother Brown had the five straight times perfectly. Now think, just wait and see what it done. Now I'm going, in other words, he's going back out to find out. Went back out to Jeffersonville, I think is what he's talking about. So the third pull then lays dormant. Now, watch number five. Pull up number five. Anointed ones at the end time. Now notice the very day when this messenger, now this is right after he preached that, watch. Not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. Now we know for sure Brother Branham's message was the opening of the seven seals. Not the healing campaign, not the signs in the hand and all that. It was the opening of those seven seals that no man had ever looked on except Brother Branham. Christ preached them and Brother Branham brought them to our attention. That's what we're trying to see now. We're not trying to see just that the white horse rider was the Antichrist. No, there's a lot more to that. That was the seal that broke. When that seal broke, there was more for us to understand. If not, they would have took a rapture in 1963. Right? All right, so now, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. See, first pull, healing. Second pull, prophesying. Third pull, opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. No more, there's no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. Now, what did Brother Brown say previous to that? That the third pull would lay dormant. Now, that doesn't mean the word's laying dormant. The word's in action. It's when the third pull is needed. Which is what? The speaking of the word. What happened under the third pull of Brother Brown's ministry? He spoke the word and something happened. No squirrels. There were squirrels. No salvation. There was salvation. Storm. Now there's no storm. Sister Mita had the thing on her side. Those different things. You understand what I'm saying? So you and I have come to a place that even we've got to come to this third pull ministry part. Before the rapture can take place. Because the third pull is the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed.
Exactly.
No more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. So we've had the prophet here. Now we've got the prophet, the Holy Ghost. The only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. Do you see it? The congregation says amen. But you got to remember that Brother Brown told that same group of people, that's Jeffersonville, 2 years after he preached the seals, that they wasn't for them. They wasn't getting it. In other words, it was sealed right back up. It was sealed back up and it lay dormant until now, until today, you and I today. Because you and I remember, I preached a long time ago and I think Bob kind of pulled on it a little bit the other day. Talking about the three pulls of our journey. You and I must have three pulls. You and I must go through the sword in the hand and all these different things. Brother Branham was a type showing the bride had to come to these things, not one man. Brother Branham come and got, he was the first fruit. Amen. He was the one that first received it, but he didn't keep it. He gave it to the bride. You and I have it now. Amen. You and I have the full opening of the word now. He didn't take it with him and he's got to come back and bring it to us. Hello. You and I are recipients of this. The opening of the word. So the first pull. Well, first pull is healing. That types what? Justification. God heals you at justification. Amen? He did me. You know what he healed me from? All that sin I did in the past. Amen? That'll never come back anymore. That's permanent. That was true justification. He justified me. The first pull. And you know what? It's not a push. It's a pull. He's pulling you into these things. You're not... that's our problem. Sometimes we push ourselves into stuff. Remember, Brother Bram said, you didn't seek God. God sought you. He pulled you. Pull. He pulled you into justification. He pulled you into sanctification. Second pull, prophesying. You get to understand more of the word of God. Even Brother Bram says your name is put on the book as a believer. And sanctification. Amen? So you're walking through... And you are looking at, you say, what's prophesying, man? Prophesying is, I read and see what Brother Branham's taught, said about me. I look and see what God's already said about me. That's them prophesying about me.
Right.
When you read the Bible, it should be talking to you about you.
Amen.
This message should be, as we read the message, Brother Branham wasn't talking to that group of people that he had in front of him. He was talking to me and you. Because you and I are the recipients, the finality of all this coming together.
Right.
The third pull, the opening of the word, which is the opening of the seven seals. We believe this end time, it has happened in this time.
Glory.
Our time. But he took a prophet to bring us the word. But when he brought the word to us, he didn't take it back with him. He gave it out to us.
Right.
Thank God for God sending a prophet. But think of that. Look through your journey. What does three mean? Three is what? Perfection. You are perfected in threes. Brother Branham's ministry was perfected in threes because the first pull was healing. He went right on through that and had a bunch of carnal impersonators. A lot of people did the same thing he did. But they didn't have a message. Then you come to second pull prophesying. Here we go. Brother Branham prophesying, telling us of all these things that's going to happen. But when he come to that third pull, that he said that was the greatest realm I ever worked in. More healing than even Jesus Christ. Yet he said the opening of the word was the greatest anointing he'd ever worked under. So you and I must see it's the greatest anointing that we ever work under is the opening of the word so that the mysteries can be revealed. And then I told you last Sunday or Sunday before last, there's only one mystery.
Right.
Is that God can hide himself in you. That's only one mystery left is Satan cannot believe that you say who you say you are.
Right.
And he's going to make you prove it.
Right.
To me, that's the great mystery. What other mystery is there?
Right.
If Christ was the seventh seal, he was a total mystery to the world.
Right.
Total mystery. He hung on Calvary by himself. Nobody understood who he was. So you think we're going to have a big crowd hanging around us? No. No, not when we do, like I said, when we get to where we say, I and my Father are one and these other things, the shut's going to pull away. People are not going to be able to swallow that, especially the denominational world, because they're going to do just like they did Jesus. They're going to say, you a man making yourself God? No, it's God has made himself into me and you. Not a second person.
Right.
Not another person.
Right.
The same person. Almighty God in human flesh. Called a bride. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's go to number six. Everybody all right with that?
Yeah.
So put yourself in the journey, in the three pulls. God's pulling you through. God's pulling you up the statue of a perfect man. He's pulling you to a body change. And that's going to pull the dead saints out of the ground. I don't know what people's looking for. I don't. I'm not searching for what other people are searching for, this code word or this prophet to come back or this. I thought Moses even said that we go look for Christ over here. We go look for him over yonder. And he said, he's nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith that you preach. So where are we looking for God at? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for some great something to get us emotionally stirred up. When Jesus was hanging on Calvary, he was not emotionally stirred up. He was dying. But he was dying for me and you. Amen? All right, that Easter proved it. He wasn't only the Word. He was God himself, the dynamics in the Word. That made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, and dead in the grave. Shake into life and rise again and roll away the stone. I am he that was dead, so dead till the sun said he was dead. The moon said he was dead. The stars said he was dead. All nature said he was dead. And now the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. How is that? In me and you. There's no other way for them to realize it. He was not only the mechanics, God's word, he was the dynamics to prove it. And as he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all. Look, the bride. The bride. The bride. It is the bride. And the bride can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelation any others have spoke of the bride. It's the bride that will have to be manifested in the end time. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. So listen, all these people that are leaving the message and all these people are preaching false doctrine, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. If they are not preaching the word, leave them alone. Because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. No, I'm sorry. Let's go back up. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power, she is like him. Because if she is like him, she's the devil.
Right.
If she's like him, do you understand what I'm saying? If she is like him, she is the devil. She is him. As man and woman are one, and woman taken from his side. She had taken the spirit, the feminine spirit from him, the flesh from his side, made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife. Listen, as we said before, when Eve appeared before Adam, she was the same person he was, except for the feminine part inside. Her flesh was his flesh. Her bone was his bone. Her blood was his blood.
Right.
We got to be the same way. The spirit of him and the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics.
Yeah.
Until that church becomes both dynamics and mechanics, and the spirit of God that moved him to do the things he did, if he hit on 16 cylinders, so will the bride. For he said in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. I'll give him a charge of my dynamics in his mechanics. Excuse me. That the world will not be able to withstand it. There's your third pull. The world will not be able to stand in front of you and me if we have what we say we're supposed to have. Coming up to the end of the persecution part. Listen. It's going to take a miracle for somebody to stand here and take a body change and not be killed. An absolute miracle. I'll give him a charge of my dynamics and I'll raise him up again to the last day. That's the Easter message. The dynamics, everybody know, the mechanics is what? The word. The dynamics is the firing of the word.
Right.
The mechanics without the dynamics, no good.
Right.
You can have the car with the motor. But no gas is worthless. Neither is the dynamics without the mechanics. You can scream, shout, and jump up and down all you want to. And deny this word, it won't do you any good. You're just cranking around the pistons. Got the spark there to fire, but no gasoline to fire it by. It only works as they come together. Comes together. One will sit still and the other will go up. That's the only thing there is to it. Yet they both might look alike. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the church nominal and the church spiritual. Look. Yet they might look alike, both claim to be churches, both claim to be bride, but one has mechanics and dynamics. It brings it to pass if what he said is the truth. It just won't move no matter how good the mechanics is until the dynamics come. When the dynamics come, that fire is made to connect with that octane in the gasoline, and then that explodes, it causes the combustion, and that combustion moves every motion, every move, for he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the resurrection. That is the resurrection. All right, let's go to the next one. Number 7. It's the rising of the sun. This is paragraph 168. That's the divine revelation of the word made flesh. If it was flesh in that day by the sun, the groom, it's the flesh today by the bride. Whosoever sins you remit, to them they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, to them they are retained.
Right.
Now the Catholic Church picked that up and takes it to their priest, but that's carnal. Watch, it was the spiritual revealed word that did it. And that's what's going to do it for you and I, the spiritually revealed word. Not just quotes.
Right.
Not just being able to quote.
Right.
Being able to be the spiritually revealed word that did it. So now if you can see that, can you see this next scripture? Go to the scripture. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Now, whoa, now, hold now, my brother. Listen. Jesus said, glorify them with the same glory that I was glorified with in John, St. John 17. You and I are the glory. Brother Brown said, we are the victory. The bride is the victory of Christ. Without us, his work was not fulfilled. Without us, the Word has to be made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Now listen, we know this is not begotten by the Father, but what's inside of you is.
Amen.
If it's not, you are second person.
Right.
And you are the devil. You are begotten by the Father.
Amen.
You are born again, full of grace and truth. That's you.
Yeah.
If it's spiritually revealed, that's you. All right. If it's spiritually revealed, you have no problem with saying, I am the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Now, have we come to that? So let's read again. Number 8. Seed's not air with a shuck. Then along came sanctification. How many believes in sanctification? You believe the Bible, you have to. Sure. So still that's not, it's a little more like there's two more words. But then come the Pentecost, the restoration of the gift, speaking in tongues. They call it the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues. There, they call that the initial evidence which brought forth the what? The shuck. But they denominate it. But when you come to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, then the shuck pulls away from it. Some will not be able to stand what we're preaching. I don't mean just we in this church. I mean we as a bride are coming to a place that if we don't start saying I and my Father are one, we're going to be saying he looks good in a casket.
Right. Right.
I'm just telling you the truth. We must see this and it must come in a quickening form. That's why somebody's got to start preaching it. Somebody's got to start getting the people to believe who they already are.
Come on, amen.
I and my Father one, and these other things. Then the shuck pulls away. Why? The shuck ain't the wheat. The shuck's the covering. It, at one time, it had life in it. God come through the stalk. God come through the ears, he comes through the stalk. God come through the shuck. Now he's in the wheat. That's what he's into now. He's not into the stalk. Stalk's dried up, already gone. It had life in it at one time, Luther. It had life into it, Wesley. It had life into it, Pentecost. But once you come back to the genuine, the real genuine bride church
right.
will bring forth the entire
right.
Word of God. In its fullness, in its strength, for he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm just telling you what he's already said about us. That all right? But when you come to say, he didn't say when I, talking about himself. He said when you come to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things. Listen, you got to start confessing it before it's a possession. Confession leads to profession leads to possession.
Right.
But the real genuine bride church will bring forth the entire Word of God in its fullness and in its strength, for he's the same yesterday, today,
glory,
and forever. Can you stand it?
Amen.
John 14:17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. All right, guys. The world can't receive this. German chocolate cake?
Yeah.
I think what's happening now is birthday cake.
Right.
German chocolate cake, birthday cake, some kind of cake. Thank you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Listen. The world can't speak our language. They can't even live. And listen, and it's not that we're here and they're here. God's made us this way. God's equipped us with what we need to do something that no one else in the world, even Jesus Christ himself, did not. He had to die, but he died for you so that you don't have to. But somebody's going to stand on this earth and say, death, you don't even have a stinger anymore. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, seeth, it does not understand, neither knoweth him. Listen, folks, and I heard a preacher the other day, and he did a really good job. Most people live off a historical Jesus Christ, a historical God. God did something at Calvary for me, but they can't get him off the cross. They keep him back there 2,000 years. And you know what? In their position, maybe that's all they can see. And listen, Jesus said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But you got to believe that he come inside of you.
Amen.
Not that he's still hanging on that cross.
Right.
Listen, it's not a historical God. It's an I am ever present God.
Amen.
That's what the prophet brought us. He tried to tell them people that God was right there with them.
Right.
That he was not a historical God.
Right.
Even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth or it understandeth him not. Neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Right.
I, personal pronoun, will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Right.
Yet a little while, and the world understandeth me no more.
Right.
But you understand me. Am I changing the Bible? No. But ye understand me, because listen, we can't physically see Christ, but we know he's inside of us, right?
Right.
But ye understand him,
right.
Because I live, ye shall live also.
Right.
At that day, the prophet said, this day,
right.
Ye shall know. It doesn't say you will guess, or you might. It says ye shall know that I am. You ever heard that before? I am in my Father,
right.
And ye in me, and I in you.
Right.
Now, most of the people can see, but look, watch what the Trinitarian doctrine does. It can't see him in the Father because they see two people.
Right.
And then I in you is the Holy Ghost, that's another person. But all I see right there is a spiritual union. Of one person.
Right.
One person.
Right. Yeah.
I am in my Father. And ye in me. That's the problem because it takes ye into me. But now remember, you and I, the first bride came out of Adam.
Right.
The second bride has to go back in. Hello?
Yeah.
We came out of his side at Calvary, but we got to go back into his side because
right.
Ye in me. And I and you, that's one person.
Exactly.
I and my Father are one in these other things. There's a threefold manner here just like there was in the three pools. Threes is perfection.
Yeah.
I and my Father, ye and me, and I and you. It's a journey. We know that when the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, that makes you God Almighty in human flesh. But can we see you and Christ being the same person?
Right.
That's hard to believe. But I'm just telling you what he said.
Right.
I am in my Father, you're in me, and I in you. We are one.
Right.
I came from God, I go back to God.
Glory.
Amen? All right, let's read 9 and 10 and then we'll... starting in communion. Hear ye him, 1960. Now you see, Jesus had proven to God that he had been the right kind of son. See this, now, alright, this is our journey, and then next Sunday we'll talk a little bit more about end of the journey. Because we have to go through a journey. This is not just all of a sudden we're going to just jump right in and be
right.
Manifested sons of God. No, we got to come to that.
Right.
Alright, we got a journey to go through.
Right.
Alright, like we were talking last night, and get this. Listen, we have to have faith. We have to believe.
Right.
But that's the vehicle. Now look, I don't have to believe and have faith that I'm in church today. Because in my journey, I'm going to believe my car is going to get me to church. I'm going to believe I'm going to get up in the morning. And I believe that my clothes are going to be ready to go. Now, I do that. June don't. So it's my fault if I don't dress right. So I come to church and then I say, I believe I'm going to go to church today. No, I'm already here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I didn't see myself at church, but I had faith that I was coming here. But that faith ended when I got to church. Your faith ends when you see your God.
Amen.
When you see your God, your faith is over. It is finished. Now listen, we believe to healing. That's only temporary. You can die the same thing 2 weeks ago and have supernatural faith to believe God can heal you of cancer and 2 weeks later die of cancer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we realize who we are and what we're doing here. Satan will not be able to bring that death ticket and put it in our face. He clothed them in immortality. We'll talk about that a little more next Sunday. Because really, faith is the journey, and believing is the journey. Listen, I have to have faith there's a future home. But now I shouldn't. Because I'm taking it with me. This is my future home. According to Brother Branham, according to the Bible, John saw it coming out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Why is a bride always got to be attached to this? Because it's me and you. You have your home and your street number already where you're sitting right now. Because the city won't be complete without you. God is not complete without you. Have you ever heard that before? He clothed him in immortality. Remember, this is Matthew 17 when he took him on the mountain. But now remember, see, that was temporary. Oh, be careful. That was temporary. Jesus didn't become immortal on that mountain. No, he died at Calvary about 6 months later. But it was showing that you and I can come to that because the first son's already come to it. Potentially. He didn't become immortal till the day of Easter morning when he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That was a mortal that had become immortal. But God shows us these things in our journey to keep us what? Pulling. He keeps pulling us to our destination. But we must confess. To possess. Amen. His garments shine like the sun. Watch. A supernatural something taking place. His garments glisten like the sun in the middle of the day, as white as they could be. God placed on him that robe of immortality, showing that he had received him. Read that next sentence. That's the thing that God will do to his sons here on earth someday. Huh. You believe God sent a prophet?
Right.
You believe the prophet's right?
Yes.
You believe the prophet's talking to you?
Glory.
About you?
Amen.
Right there's what he said. God will do to his sons here on earth someday.
Right.
He will call you a side church if you'll only obey him and stay on the word and believe it. He will place into the church before the coming of Jesus Christ. He will place into the church all the powers. Hello, somebody. All the powers that Christ had in him will be in the church. All that God was, he poured into Jesus. All that Jesus was, he poured into the church. God wanting his work done, he sent it into his son. The son wanting the work done, sent it into the church. At that day, you'll know that I am the Father. The Father and me and I and you and me. At that day, because the same power of God was in Jehovah God, rested in Jesus Christ. The same power that rested in Jesus Christ rests in the placed sons in the body of Christ.
Right.
Placing of a son. Take him out in a certain place. Have a ceremony before angels. Place him positionally what he is in the body of Christ. Then that person has the authority. Let me say this, if you count me a fanatic from this night on, that very same thing that I'm speaking of will be
Amen.
Done.
Amen.
And hold on, it just didn't say him. There'll be a power put into the bride. And now is coming in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word and it'll create itself right there. We haven't seen powers like coming into the church now. I know it for a fact. Yeah. Say unto this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you've said shall come to pass. It can you can have what you've said. The placing of the church in position where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church. Then critics' mouths, what? The shuck will be shut up. It'll be a short time. You hear me? It'll be a short time. Brother Branham said it'll be a short time. Jesus came right off the mountain, went straight to Calvary. Notice, it won't last long, but it'll be here.
Glory.
That's your prophet talking about you. One more and then we'll finish. Uniting Time and Sign, 1963, right after the seals were preached. What did he say in Malachi 4 would restore? Restore back the original Pentecostal faith back to the people with the same Pentecostal message, the same Pentecostal sign, the same Pentecostal evidence, the same God, the same power, the same teaching. Everything exactly with the vindication of the same pillar of fire that struck Paul down on the road down to Damascus amongst us today, doing the same thing he did in that day, uniting. We see the nations uniting. See, that's what we're all worried about, going, well, this is doing this and this is doing that. What about us? What about our uniting time?
Right.
We see the churches uniting. We see the bride uniting, uniting with the Word. Why? The Word is God. And as the Word, as the bridegroom being the Word, and the bride being the hearer of the Word, they come together in a union. They unite like a wedding. See, they're getting ready for a wedding and they become one. The Word becomes you. Oh, wait a minute, Brother Branham. The Word becomes you and you become the Word. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm telling you what the prophet said about you. As the bridegroom being the Word and the bride being the hearer of the Word, they come together in a union. They unite like a wedding. See? They're getting ready for a wedding and they become one. The Word becomes you and you become the Word. Jesus said at that day, you know what? All the Father is, I am. All that I am, you are. And all you are, I am. In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, at that day, what day? This day. We find out the great hidden mysteries. Now, what's the hidden mystery? I and you and me. That's the hidden mystery. The hidden mystery is that we're God made manifest. No, we're not just a bride.
Right.
We have that title, sure. But I thought he said we were having a uniting time where the two come together to make what? One.
Right.
We find out the great hidden mysteries of God being revealed. Oh, how I like that.
Right.
He enjoyed what he was saying. Amen. You enjoy what he's saying about you?
Right.
Well, that's what he said. He said, I and you and me. All I am, you are. And all you are, I am. He turned that thing around and he's looking right at us and he said, what I am, you are. And what you are, I am. So Jesus Christ does not have a problem with saying who you are. Because you're him.
Glory.
You're him.
Right.
You're him made manifest in another form.
Glory.
Called a bride.
Right.
That's what to me the sixth seal shows me. That I am so sanctified. Now remember the fifth seal we typed as justification. The highest form. The real you didn't do it. Because the fifth seal Jew. He can't see their sin.
Right.
The real Jew didn't do it. The real person didn't do that or couldn't give them eternal life. He gave them eternal life because he blinded their eyes, right?
Yeah.
Now we come to the sixth seal and we see a total disruption of nature. We see that he so cleans the earth off until he can walk on it. He can walk on the earth. After the sixth seal naturally opens, Christ the seventh seal can appear on the earth with his bride. He's not by himself. He's got somebody with him. He's got his complete bride body with him. During that time. So what is the sixth seal? Sure, it's the tribulation seal. Sure, it's the seal that's a horrible seal to the world. But if you're sealed into Christ, it's not horrible for you.
Right.
It's the greatest part of you that you're so sanctified that God sees Himself in you.
Right.
He sees Himself in you.
Right.
Not as another person.
Exactly right.
But as the person of Jesus Christ on the earth,
right,
called a bride. Can you swallow that?
Right.
Let's stand. I'm not going to ask you, can you swallow it? I'm going to ask you, can you make it manifest? Because we got to. That's our mandate.
Right.
Our mandate is to be Jesus Christ on this earth. Because He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You and I must come to that before the dead. Because remember, what did Brother Brown say? He said, now Christ comes up to the tomb of Lazarus. If He would have said, dead come forth, He said, everybody would have resurrected. He said, Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus came forth. But now you and I got a lot of dead friends in the ground.
Right.
Seven whole church ages,
yeah,
of people in the ground. That you and I have got to come to a place to where you can say, I am the resurrection. Oh, we swallowed the I am, and we swallowed. What about I am the resurrection? I am.
Right.
Now, I am is you're not. I am. But when He connects with you, can you separate them? That's our problem. What we do is we try to start separating. God's trying to pull us back in, and we're trying to push ourselves back out.
Yeah.
We know humanly none of us are worthy, but if you'll just listen to what God said we were worthy.
Right.
God told us if we had the Holy Ghost and we live by the Word, that He would do the same thing to us that He did to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Romans 8 says we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever He gets, we get. Not in a lesser form, but not in one person, but in a many-membered body, you and I are Jesus Christ made manifest on the earth. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. We pray that what we said, Lord, has been pleasing, and the people will, as we looked in Revelations, that John took the book and ate the book, and it was sure sweet in his mouth, but it was bitter in his stomach. He had to go out and live what was in that book. Pray, Father, that the people here, Lord, today will not just live the book, but become the book. Because we are You made manifest in another form called the bride. We're just trying to tell the people exactly what You've already said. But You had to send us a prophet to help us believe in this journey. There was all those different scruples and different roads and different denominations and different creeds and all. But You sent us a prophet, thank God.
Right.
That we could sit down and listen to what He said. And listen what He said about us.
Glory.
He said we are the virtuous, sinless. We'll talk about it next Sunday. The virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. We're just saying what You say, Lord. We ask that You just forgive us of our sins, Lord, and our many mistakes. Lord, as we go forward to this communion time, a solemn time, Lord, to take this cup and this little bit of unleavened bread, Lord, we pray that You would just be with us and bless us, Lord. For being sick among us, we've seen people healed, completely healed from just taking communion, Lord. We pray that You would just bless each one, Father. Bless us in our journey. I believe we're beginning to understand what we're doing here. And we're understanding a little bit more of what You've already said about us. Not some great new revelation, but Lord, just being God being revealed in human flesh, called a bride. Bless us all, Lord. Take care of us. Be with Brother Luis and them on their trip back. They got a long way to go, Lord. Give him refreshment for Wednesday night so he can come and give us, Lord, the words of eternal life. Father, just bless us. Take care of us as we turn the service over to Brother Dale. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, we'll do it while we're doing the communion, because I have seen people healed. We've seen people healed.
Amen.
Taking communion.
Right.
Because you know what you're doing? You're doing what God said.
Right.
If you do what God said, He will bless you.
Amen.
He'll have to, because He said He would.
Amen.
All right, God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
And the bride says amen.
Amen.
Let's give our brother a good hand. You know, when we begin to say and believe, we're talking about it last night. Brother Ryan asked a question about the word believing. It starts off believing, believing. You know, after a while, it turns out to be his believing.
Right.
It's not you believing.
Amen.
It's his believing. That's when it'll come forth in the correct way and be fully made manifest, right?
Amen.